Please sit down. We have a worldwide focus over the next term, and particularly over the next 2 weeks. On Thursday morning, Paul Dobbing is with us here at the midweek communion service to tell us how the work is going in Kathmandu, Nepal, and one or two other places in the world he goes to as well from there. Also on Thursday morning, two of our number are driving down to Heathrow Airport to collect six people from Argentina. It's Hugo, Danny and Flavia, Carlos, Gustavo and Ezekiel Oriz. They're arriving on Thursday and they will be leading a portion of the prayer meeting on Friday evening here that you heard in the notices. So Friday evening, 7:30 in church here, praying for Passion for Life events and praying for the Argentinians' visit to England, different places as well as us. That's Friday evening here with them leading a good portion of that prayer meeting. Please come if you can. So now is a good time to share a world focus. Next week is the time to find out some of the background on our Argentinian guests as they go off to one or two other churches in the Northwest. We'll be asking, why are there Anglicans in Northwest Argentina? How are we in partnership with churches in Salta, and what are the reasons for their visit? Although that one is answered in this month's Grapevine. If you haven't bought the church magazine yet, please do. On page one, you'll see that one answered. So our partnership with churches in Northwest Argentina will be tackled in next week's sermon, but today we've got a more basic question. Why are there Christians all over the world? Whenever there is a world focus, we notice it, there are Christians all over the world. A few weeks ago, the people lost in South Korea when the boat turned over and sank, with tragic numbers of young people lost and others. Photos of the praying relatives showed us that a lot of them were Christians. More recent news is the horrible news from northeast Nigeria, where sixth form girls were abducted from their school and taken off by Islamists. And probably so many of them now are being forcibly taken as wives in other parts of West Central Africa. Many of those young women were Christians because the local town is a mainly Christian town. On a lighter note, the Brazilian footballers getting ready for their home World Cup, many of them cross themselves as they come on to the field, and many of them are part of the team huddle before and after matches, which is a prayer time, because many of them are Christians. Any look around the world with eyes open, and probably not through the BBC lens, will show Christians. There are over 2 billion of us. Why? Why are there so many Christians around the world? Well, here's one big reason why, the main reason why. Our Bible reading today was some of Jesus' last words before he ascended to heaven. One of his last resurrection appearances was to the disciples in Galilee. If you would, just have a look at the second reading, the gospel reading. If you've got one of the church Bibles nearby, New Testament section, page 35. If you've got your own Bible, the end of Matthew's gospel, the first book of the New Testament. Matthew 28, verse 16. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. There was still some confusion for some of the disciples. It had been a time, a disturbing, mind-blowing, wonderful and scary few weeks since the first Easter. And Jesus wanted to take this opportunity to clear any confusion and also to reassure them and give them his calling for the rest of their lives. Verse 18, and Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." So there he is trying to clear their confusion by saying it is right to worship me. I'm the one in charge of everything, he says. All authority has been given to me. Jesus is Lord of heaven and earth, his claim. Made clear so that his followers would understand better their worldwide calling, which he went on to give. Verse 19. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. Jesus wants everyone in the world to be his followers. All are to be offered forgiveness and new life. All are to be offered adoption as his children. All are to be offered salvation. Everyone. He calls everyone in the world to be Christians. People in every nation are to be helped to become disciples of Jesus Christ, to be baptized into the name of Jesus Christ, and taught to obey all of the teaching of Jesus Christ. Jesus wants his followers to help everyone else in the world to be Christians. And he says, as we do that, as they do that, he will be right with them. Can you see the last part? And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. That's quite a short passage. Let's seek to apply it a bit more deeply. First of all, who does this apply to? Perhaps just the 11 disciples who were gathered there. They certainly knew it applied to them because they went off in different directions around the world. But are they the only Christians to know the call to make disciples of all nations? I think not. This is for more than those 11, and isn't the clue in the phrase "until the end of the age"? This is the call to Christians until the new covenant is complete. Christians are called like this until Jesus comes a second and last time. This call applies to Christians like us. Well, secondly, how do we make disciples of all nations? Well, practically, we can respond to this call by helping Christians in other nations who are seeking to make disciples. People like Ugo and Tetsi, Ugo and the team that are coming and will be with us on Friday night. Mary and her school in India, Gary Iron in Central East Africa, the Dobbins in Nepal. That's how we can help make disciples of all nations. And we can help make disciples of all nations by doing the same in our own situation. Actually, that's what Jesus said to his followers on another last occasion he was with them, after his resurrection and before his ascension. Start in Jerusalem, then go to Judea and Samaria, and then to the ends of the earth. We respond to the call to make disciples of all nations by doing the same in our own situation, in Poynton, in East Cheshire, in Northwest England. Making disciples of all nations starts where we are. We witness to friends, neighbours, strangers. We invite people to events and services at church, like those coming up as part of Passion for Life. We help people, including needy people, in Jesus' name and tell them of Jesus and his care and love. We run little courses like Christianity Explained, Alpha, Uncover, Church Membership. There's a church membership course starting on Wednesday. Why don't you come along? There's another application and part of this, and that is to teach well. Can you see part of making disciples of all nations is to teach well? Verse 20, teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And so we urge one another to teach well. We work hard to encourage the spiritual gift of teaching the faith in church groups, in children's groups, in home groups, one-to-one. That's part of making disciples of all nations. Fourthly, we recognize that if we want to know Jesus is with us, we will be going and making disciples. And too many Christians have a rather subjective idea of Jesus' presence and support being with them. And it's good that people know Jesus with them, but we need a more objective understanding as well. As well as those that might say, I feel he's with me when I'm on the hills, or I feel he's with me when I'm happy. What Jesus has said is this: go and make disciples and I am with you. So I might feel his presence at other times, but I know he's with me when I'm going and making disciples. There are other more challenging and realistic applications of this passage. Conversion is a good and right thing. If Jesus wants us to make disciples of all nations, that includes converting those who aren't yet Christians, including atheists, agnostics, Muslims, Buddhists, secularists, Hindus, communists, Jews, pagans, and many others, all sorts of people. Jesus claims all authority, and so we seek to go to all. Now, this will bring its own challenges and tensions. Muslims often believe that no one should change from being a Muslim to a Christian, and if they do, they must be shunned by the family or worse. In many Muslim-dominated countries, it's illegal to change to become a Christian. Christians are encouraged to become Muslims, but not vice versa, in many countries in our world. And this ought to show us that lots of beliefs and ideologies are seeking converts. It's part of the world. It's part of the mix of things in our world. It's natural. New atheists want everybody to be atheist. Communists want everybody to be communist. Muslims want everyone to be Muslim. Christians want everyone to become Christian. So this should have no big deal. This should be no big deal in most places, but it is, it seems to be. Certainly Christians encouraging everyone to be Christian shouldn't be a big deal, because our approach is to help people and tell people and not to force people. It's not a level playing field around the world, but we are called to tell and help people. Whatever other people's methods might be, that's our calling, in order that we might go and make disciples of Jesus Christ. So it obviously comes with challenges and tensions. We can't avoid those. We shouldn't avoid those. It's part of it. We wish things weren't so difficult in certain scenarios and amongst certain situations. But it is how it is. It shouldn't surprise us because Jesus knew great challenges and tensions. And he warned his disciples that they would face him. And that is why it was such a great reassurance when he said, "He is with us as we do this." Isn't it interesting that Matthew finished his gospel here with these words? Doesn't that urge us to think that actually this is what we need to be left with? It's what we need to get on with. If we follow Jesus, we have the Great Commission. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptize and teach them all I've said, and I will be with you to the end of the age. This commission makes Christianity a world religion. We have good news for all the world. This is why there are Christians in every nation and why the church is growing so fast in so many nations, even those where Christians are really up against it. And it means that we are people with a world vision. And it means we are part of a worldwide family with the same vision. I encourage you, let's make the most of that. And especially in this next fortnight. The one who calls us is faithful. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, that you call us to be part of a worldwide family with a worldwide mission. Help us to be faithful and to take our part this week and next week and beyond. For your name's sake, amen.